Okay, we're going to begin the second perek. Yud Gimel Amud Beis.
Oh, come on time then.
Yeah. Okay, so in the previous perek, we've talked about the various types of things that are considered a neder. We had Yodos Nedarim, where you make a partial statement that amounts to a complete neder. We had Kinuyim, where you use like slang terms or whatever that are the equivalent of a neder. We had various things where you say words that are like the equivalent of a carbon or words that refer to carbonus or whatever. Now we're going to start learning about what are the cases that it's not considered a neder. Mishnah says, the following cases of things that sound like nedarim are not really nedarim, and therefore the thing remains mutter. If the person says, for example, chulin sha'ichaloch, chulin that I will eat from you, which we learned in the previous perek, that if you say, for example, carbon sha'ichaloch, then we had a machlokas, whether does that mean saying, are you saying that I swear by a carbon that I will or won't eat from you? And according to Rabbi Yehuda, that doesn't count for anything. Or according to Rabbi Meir, we said no. Maybe it means that he can mean that what you're wanting me to eat by you, what I would eat by you, is considered to me a carbon. Therefore, it's also. But here, if he says chol and shoy halach, then there's no question. It's mutter. As a matter of fact, I mean, the Gemara is going to point out in that case it's very partial. Why even bother mentioning it? But we'll get to that. Or if the person says. Kivsar chazir, if he says this food is considered to me like meat from a chazir, kavodis kechavim or like a vadazara, which is also b'hana, kaodis levubin or like skins of animals that have a hole by the heart. And so the Masechta Avodah and a couple of other places, mostly in Avodah Zarah, and it's mentioned in passing in a few other places in Shas, that the Goyim in those days, some Goyim anyway, had a minhag. One of their things for their Avodah Zarah is that they would, when they were sacrificing an animal for their Avodah Zarah, they would cut a hole in the skin by the animal, the opposite the animal's heart, and reach inside and pull out the heart and sacrifice it. I don't know if this was before or after they chopped off the animal's head or whatever it was. Either it was before or after, whatever it was part of the ritual, and therefore very often you would find skins of animals that would have a round hole there where the heart of the animal was when it was alive. So therefore, this when you see such a skin, you know it actually, by the way, it does mean in Masechta Tamid Lahavdil, when it talks about the bringing of the Tamid every day, the part of the Mishnah when it describes over there the sequence of things how they would do, it mentions that they would take out the heart and remove the blood from it. The arm of portion was then, that is obviously after the animal's shechted, you're hanging it up to strip off the skin and to cut it into pieces. But the arm of portion would say that Lahavdil, the way it was done with the tumid was somewhat akin to what we're talking about over here. Here it's after the animal was shechted, but before they wouldn't wait until the animal was completely cut open and all the internal organs are visible. At some point during the hepshit benituach, they would do that. They'd cut out a hole in the animal's chest and pull out the heart. It was part of how they dismembered it as the carbon oil. Here, Lahavdil, the Goyim were doing it. I don't know, it's not clear whether it was while the animal was alive or whatever. But either way, the point is, if you find such a skin then and it has a hole in it, you know it came from Tekrovis of a desire. It came from something that was offered to an Avodah Zarah, which therefore was also Bahana. Or Kinevelos or Trefis Kishkotim or Ramasim. The person says that this food is like Nevela or Trefer or like Shkotim, which are Matame or Ramasim. So the Ran points out, by the way, the reason why does the mission have to give this long list of Isurim? The reason is because each kind is a different Isur. Chazir flesh is also to eat, but it's mutter b'hanah. Avodas kechavim is also b'hanah. So it's a step beyond that. Avodas levuvin is even kind of a step beyond that. Avodah Zarah, as Gemara discusses in Masechta Avodah Zarah, you're able to... The Avodas levuvin, yeah, the ones with the hole in them, yeah. An Avodah Zarah itself, an idol itself, can be nisbatel. Not if it belongs to a Jew, but an Avodah Zarah that belongs to a Goy can be nisbatel. If the Goy himself decides that he doesn't care to worship this idol anymore, and he does something to it that demonstrates that he no longer considers it his God, then it becomes mutter b'hana. Whereas Tekrovis Avodah Zarah is not like that. Come join us, sit down and take a Gemara. Tekrovis Avodah Zarah is not like that. Food or anything that's offered to an Avodah Zarah can never be nisbatel. Even if the Avodah Zarah itself is batel, the Tekrovis is not. So therefore, Tekrovis is kind of a step beyond the Avodah Zarah itself. And therefore, the Mishnah looks at separately.
Avodah Zarah of a Goy or
a Yid? Of a Goy. Of a Yid, well, of a Yid has the same dinim, except that an Avodah Zarah of a Yid can never be nisbatel. If you have a statue,
a goy's
idol can be bottled. A Jew's idol, Rahman al-Islam, cannot.
So that's we're talking about a Jew.
But it doesn't matter. No, we're saying this Jew is saying this food that's on the table in front of me, I'm considering it like Avodah Zarah. But we're saying that's actually, even though the Avodah Zarah, obviously, whatever kind of Avodah Zarah he's considering it like, is also Bahanah, no question about that. The food is not also Bahanah. This is not a valid neder. The Elam Mutar in the Mishnah started out.
Right, okay.
Yeah, okay. And then Nevelus Atrefus, Shkotim Ramasim, the reason the Mishnah mentions is specifically about Nevela and Shkotim, because those are things that are actually Metame a person as well. The Nevela of a kosher animal or a non-kosher animal, and Shkotim, the Shmoina Shkotim, are all Metame a person. So therefore the Mishnah lists them all. Or Kachalas Aaron Rechitrumah. Say, or if a person says that this food is also to me like Chala or like Truma, we learned this at the end of the previous parak, all those things are Mutzer. The basic idea being, as we'll learn in the Gemara, because in order for it to be a valid neder, you have to be makpis, you have to be comparing the thing that you want to make Oster, you have to be comparing it to something, to a Dabar HaNodr, something that becomes Oster through a neder. None of the things that we listed so far are Oster from a neder. I've read it's Chavim, or it's Levovin, etc. are all also, it's an intrinsic Easter. Okay, I've read it's Chavim and Eretz Levovin, technically, I mean, they happened through a person doing them. A person made the statue and a person sacrificed this animal, but still, it's not considered a neder, it's considered an Easter. And Chalas Aaron or Trumas, we talked the other day about a couple of different reasons that the Rishonim give why that's not considered a Dabar HaNodr. The Ram says because it's true, it remains also to everybody except for Kohenim, but that's not because of your neder. It's true you voluntarily decided this piece of dough should be challah or this batch of grain should be truma, but that doesn't mean the fact that it becomes at that point also to Zorim and Mutter to the Kohenim, that's not because of your neder. Your neder, if it was just a matter of a neder, it would have been also to everybody. It's a matter of it's an Issum and a Torah, that's all. So it's not really shyfus to a neder. We learned also a couple of other reasons of that. The Rosh gave the reason because, after all, it was also beforehand. Anyway, it was Tevel. Nobody could eat it. So by designating a challah or truma, you haven't added any new Isser, so to speak. And the Rambam says the reason because you can't just give challah or truma just out of the blue. You have to have grain or whatever it is, produce that's obligated in truma or dough that's obligated in challah. Whatever the case, they're not considered davar hanadur. And therefore, if you're being makbis, if you're comparing this object that you want to say is osir to one of them, nothing happens. Continue the Mishnah. Ha'omel ishte hareyat alai ki'ima. What if somebody says to his wife, you are to me like my mother, meaning my mother is also to me, it's arayas, so you're also to me also. Well, on the face of it, it shouldn't be an issue because the same thing, the mother is not a davar hanadur, it's also a davar osir, but nevertheless, though, we treat it as if it was a real neder, and if we need him to be mafter neder after all, otherwise it's gonna destroy their shalom bayis. But what you do is you open up a way to be mafter the neder using a different angle. What do I mean by different angle? Let's finish the Mishnah and I'll explain what that means. Shalayakol rosh alakach, in order that you shouldn't be meikol rosh. The person shouldn't treat this kind of thing casually.
Because you don't know.
So first of all, the Gemara is going to talk about there may be a difference here. We're going to talk about in the Gemara whether there's a difference here between an Amma'aretz and a Tamad Chacham. We'll have a Machlokas Abaye and Rava on that. One way of looking at it, Rava says that we're talking over here about an Amma'aretz is you want to make sure that Shalayakol rosh alakach, that he's not going to treat Nedarim casually. And therefore you make him understand this really is a neder. You need to be mafter neder rather than in the case of a Tamad Chacham who wouldn't usually do this kind of thing anyway. Then he can know to begin with that it's not a valid neder. Now what do we mean poskim lepesach m'makom acher? So it's like this. There's basically, we're going to learn later on in the Masechta when we get to the dinim of Ataras Nedarim. There's two different ways in which there's two different approaches to being matir neder. One is called charata, where the person regrets, I should never have made this neder in the first place. The other is that the person says, you know, I did make this neder, I have no problem with that, but I didn't realize the consequences. That's called a pesach, that you point out to him certain consequences of it that he wasn't aware of at the time. We talk about it briefly. So that's, I mean, there's rules about that.
It's a way to cancel an
edit. So both of them are ways to cancel an edit. Based on Harata or based on Pesach is a Chacham or three Dayanim or whatever can be Matir an edit. There's differences between them. One of them was Pesach. It's a little more complicated. You can't use Nolad, for example. You can't use something that nobody could have predicted at the time. One interesting example was a Mishnah in Nazir that tells of how there were some Nazirim who came to bring their Korbanos at the end of their Nazirus, and they found the Beth Mikdash was destroyed. What are they going to do? They're going to be stuck forever. So Nochem Amadi, one of the Dayanim Zeris that we learned about at the end of Ksuvos, says to them, if you had known when you made your Nazirus that the Beth Mikdash was going to be destroyed, would you have made your Neder? And they said, of course not. And he was master on that basis. Whereas the other Chachamim said, that doesn't work. That's called Noilad. Nobody could have predicted ahead of time that the Beth Mikdash would be, okay, the Gemara discusses, maybe they knew that the Beth Mikdash eventually, well, I mean, I don't think we talked about it really, but anyway, whatever. So that's called Poskan Noilad. You can't, Nochem Amadi, we talk about it at the end of Ksuvos. Yeah. Anyway, so that's an example. Okay. So there's certain dinim about Pesach. We'll learn about them later in the Masechta. Okay. One kind of Pesach, a very common kind of Pesach kind of is you point out to the person. It's called b'chvoid avi v'imoi. You can use the fact that look, we tell him, okay, you're glad you made this neder, but do you realize that now you're embarrassing your parents? That everybody says to them, look, you know, you have a child who's careless about nedarim, or just every time he gets angry, he flies off the handle. I'm making a neder such and such. That might make him realize that, you know what, there are consequences to this neder. It's embarrassing my parents, and then you can use that as a basis for a Pesach. If he says I don't care, he says I don't care. What can you do? This is, by the way, why it says in Pirkei Avos, what's the lashon in Pirkei Avos? Al tisha loy b'shas nidroi. It says, don't ask your friend what he's doing at the time he makes a neder. Because what's going to happen then, you ask him, how you talking, what are you making this neder? He's still angry right then, or whatever it is. He's still upset. And therefore, he's going to say, you know what, so I do have that in mind. And then you've destroyed his possible Pesach. Yeah. Anyway. The vort is over here, what we're saying is that here, when he made this neder that you, my wife, are also to me like my mother, we can't use kvod avi v'imoi in that. We can't say how you talking. Do you realize that how you're embarrassing your mother, that you're using her in your neder, that you're using her against your wife? You can't do that because again, we're talking about you don't want him to make a rush with it. You don't want him to think neder is. You don't want to make him think that a neder is that important, or you don't want him to think, you know what, I can do this anytime I want. Anytime I get angry at my wife, I can make such a neder, and then after all, it won't be chal. No, we make him realize how serious it is, and we're going to have to actually dig into it and find some way to be mocked in neder, and that way, next time, he'll know to be more careful.
That was a mess, just like the Arabia.
Yeah. All right. But that's the point. No, it's two different statements. Number one is chulin shalichalach. If he says chulin that I would eat of yours, well then that's not a problem. Now chulin is mutter. So what are you saying? What I'm eating of yours is considered like chulin. Good. Well then it's mutter. The second case is where he says what you want me to eat of yours, I'm considering like besar chazir. They were saying since davar also not a davar on nader, then it doesn't work. That's what we're going to talk about in the Gemara. By the way, though, so the Mishnah seems to be saying that only in this case of Omer l'Ishtei do we make him treat it as a serious neder if he's an Amar Oretz and find a Pesach and find a Pesach elsewhere, but not the previous cases. Even according to the Ran and most Rishonim, in the other cases, if the person says Kivsar Chazir or Kavod Zor or whatever, even if he's an Amar Oretz, we're not worried about it and we can tell him straight out it's not a neder and we're not going to worry. Why is that? Again, there's a few different reasons. One of them being, the Rashba says, very simple. So what? Okay, so he makes a neder. So he makes a neder to say that he's also to eat somebody else's food. Big deal. That's not a problem. That's not a problem. However many times he does it, and it's not a real neder. But with his wife, it's gonna affect their shalom bayis. Therefore, you want to prevent him from doing that. And how are you going to do that? By making him think that it's a real neder, and now he has to go through the hassle of thinking of a Pesach, etc. But that way, he'll be careful not to do it next time. Okay, anyway, what I was going to say is the Rambam holds that this last part about Poskim and Pesach and Makom Acher actually refers back to the whole Mishnah. Even though the Mishnah had started off the Eilim Mutarin, the Rambam learns that what we mean is the Eilim Mutarin, they're all Mutar Midaraisa. But Midrabanan, because of the Shalayako Rosh Shalakach, all of these cases, even if he said Kavod Zaro, Ka'uris Lububin, or what have you, we still, if he's an Amoris, we make him treat it seriously and look for a Pesach elsewhere rather than telling him outright it's Mutar, it's not a Neder. It passes, and in Shulchan Aruch it passed in that way. And by the way, the Shach points out there in Shulchan Aruch, for that purpose, all of us are considered Amei Aretz, because people are careless with Nedarim. Okay. So the Gemara says, let's start off. So what are we saying in the Mishnah? That it's mutter if he says chulin sha'oichalach, which would imply ha'ama lichulin sha'oichalach, or la chulin, as we learned in the previous parak. What if he puts a lamed at the beginning of it? Then that seems to imply that no, that would be a problem, because then that amounts to saying that because we can break down the word lachulin, as we talked about in the previous parak, we can break it down into lachulin, meaning not chulin.
Meaning
what's the opposite of chulin? A carbon. So then it's effectively saying that what I would eat from you, what you want me to eat from you, is considered a carbon to me. The question is, so that therefore it's also right. The question is, masnissin, mani masnissin. Well, who does our Mishnah go like saying that? Reb Meir, if our Mishnah goes according to Reb Meir, halas le'mikval lavat hashemei hein. We learned in the previous parak that Reb Meir does not hold this concept that from the negative you infer the positive. So unless the person actually says that what I would eat from you is to be considered a carbon, or he uses the word loy or halach, which we talked about in the last letter, lachulin wouldn't work, because it's true, lachulin implies carbon, but he didn't actually say so. The Elo Rabbi Yehuda. Okay, so you're going to say that our mission is according to Rabbi Yehuda. Again, as we talked about in the previous parak, the only Tanoim that we find discussing this issue, we find Rabbi Yehuda, and we assume that Rabbi Yehuda's usual bar plugged as Reb Meir. So therefore, these are the only two Tanoim we have to talk about. So you're going to say our Mishnah is like Rabbi Yehuda, Hainu Reisha. Well, isn't then our Mishnah saying the same thing as the previous Perek? It's kind of an unusual expression for the Gemara to use Reisha to refer to a Mishnah of the previous Perek. But the idea is, because the previous Perek has taught us cases when a neder is osur, and it mentioned all the various cases where you say carbon or kit carbon or whatever. So then our Mishnah that continues with cases kavod sechavim kipsav hazir, etc., is sort of a continuation of that, even though it's actually located in another parak. So therefore, we can think of it as a resha and a seifa. Okay. So the point is, the previous parak had taught us that Rabbi Yehuda says that if you say ha carbon ki carbon or carbon sha'oichalach, we said that if you say carbon ola mincha chatas, etc., shani oichalach, Rabbi Yehuda says it's mutter, unless you use the kaf adimion, unless you use a kaf over there, ki carbon or whatever. Here where you're saying chulin sha'oichalach, obviously, then it's mutter. Rabbi Yehuda says no chiddush.
Even if
you're going to say the Mishnah is like Rabbi Yehuda, yeah. Then it's saying the same thing as the previous parak. So okay, the Rambam points.
Okay.
Right. So the Rambam points out that the question is really only according to Rabbi Yehuda. With Rabbi Meir, we have the problem with that he doesn't say Mikra Lava to Shemei Hein. But if it weren't for that, if we were able to get over that difficulty, we would say there is a chiddush in this Mishnah over the previous parak, which is the previous parak has the previous parak has said that the previous parak has told us that according to the mayor, if you say this food is Yerushalayim, then it's also, for example, the chiddush would be that it's not the case if you say cholin. But if you say that would be the point. That's the point. So the chiddush would be though that if you say lo cholin. And if you say lochol, no, then it could be a problem, except for the fact that we're saying Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Meir, holds that you don't infer one from the other. So there would be a chiddush according to Rabbi Meir compared to the previous parak.
The
chiddush of Rabbi Meir is that we're saying that we would say that even Rabbi Meir would agree that if you say that if you say lochol, then it would have to mean carbon. But the problem is that, one second, so that's the thing. Reb Meir does not believe that. If Reb Meir believed that, if we didn't have that issue, then yes, we would say there is a chiddush in our Mishnah. The fact that Reb Meir believes that cuts it out. And Reb Yehuda was saying it's not a chiddush. And the answer is, I did the katadi kibsar chazir kaver it's chavim. Okay, but it's introducing the thing. You're right, we don't really need to talk about chulun themselves, but just because the Mishnah is going to continue with cases of kifsar chazir kaver it's chavim, lahachi katani chulun, therefore it starts off by saying chulun.
We're not really,
it is sort of repetitious according to Rabbi Yehuda, but it's an introduction to get into the swing of things. Rabbi Norma, Ravina gives a different answer. Haki Katani, the Mishnah means like this, the Elam Mutarin Kichulin, the following cases are mutter just as if the person had said chulin, just like if a person says chulin sha'uchalach, there's no question that it's mutter, that we just said, there's no real chiddush in it. The same thing, the following ones are also mutter, kivsa chazir, kaber chichavim, etc. The point is, the Eloi Tana Chulin have Amina Boy Shayla, because if Mishnah had not introduced it by mentioning Chulin, you would have thought that maybe these things are like what we said at the end of the Mishnah. You need a Pesach Lemakamacha. You do need to ask a Shayla about it. The fact that the Mishnah starts off with Chulin teaches us that no, just like there's no question, nobody ever has any question that even for an Amaret, Chulin Shaykh Allah is not a problem. The same way the rest of the Mishnah until the Kechalas Aron Chitrimos in Mutter is all in the same category. No Sheila is necessary. Okay, so according to the Rambam evidently had a different gear over here because he says that for an Amoris you do.
But aside from that,
the idea would be that the Mishnah starts off with Chulin in order to clarify that these are 100% Mutter. There's no doubt about them at all. The question is, what would even make you think that you might think that the other ones are, you have to ask a Shaila? Midkatoni Sefer, because the end of the Mishnah clearly says, only in that case do you need a Pesach Mimakamacha, do you need to find some basis for Pesach, you can't just use Karata and you can't use Kvodov of it. Right. That's exactly. Miklal derashal by Baya Shayla, implying that the first part there's no need for even asking. So there's no reason to introduce it with Chulin Sha'uchalach in order to clarify that. It says you're right. Elamachbar to Chulin Memela Masra. Okay, so it's clear that we have to say that Chulin, it's clear that we have to say, like the first answer, that Chulin was just mentioned as leading into the thing, not to teach us any particular chiddush, not to explain what the rest of the Mishnah means, but just to leading into it. Or Rashi says over here
so
that.
If you do that, what is Ravina bringing to?
So Ravina wanted to say that we actually needed the word chulin because otherwise we wouldn't understand the next part. Now we're saying not. So we're going back to the original answer that chulin is just there to lead into the thing. This that we say memela nasva. By the way, Rashi over here, the Mefarish, whatever we want to call him, says that actually the usual. He says that memela nasva is the equivalent of throughout Shas. You sometimes have an expression kedi nasva. Kedi means for nothing. Like it was mentioned, without really any particular need for it.
What does it mean, memela nasva?
Memela nasva literally means it was mentioned memela on its own. So the Ran explains that it means it was mentioned on its own, meaning in other words that it was mentioned, like we said before, to lead into as you're starting to introduce the concept of Ve'elu Mutarin, so you start off by leading in with that, not really because there's any chiddush in it, but just because that's the style of speaking. Whereas according to Rashi's explanation, Memela Masva means literally the Gemara is saying it was unnecessary to say. You're right, the Mishnah did not have to say the words Chulin Sha'uchalach at all. Usually in Shas the expression would be Kedi Nasva. But again, it's an example of, we talked a few times already, Loshen Nedarim Mishuna, that Nedarim has unusual expressions in it compared to the rest of Shas. Okay, now that we settled all of that, now let's go back to the basic, the Mishnah had told us that there's a difference then between whether you're being makpis in a Dover HaNodr, such as Korban, like we learned about in the previous parak, versus whether you're makpis B'Dover HaAsr, like the Avodah Zarah or Chazir Fleish or whatever from our Mishnah. The question is, Minani Mili, where do we get that distinction? The answer is Amakra, Ish Ki Yidr Neder LaHashem. The pasuk says that if a person declares a neder to Hashem, and it's a double expression, yidur neder, after all the pasuk could have just said, ishki yidur lashem, the word neder is extra, it means, adshi yidur v'dover hanodur. We learn from that it's only a neder if he makes it using a dover hanodur, using something that's capable of becoming osir itself through a neder. So a korban being the classic example of that, a korban becomes osir by you declaring, I'm making a neder, that I'm going to bring a korban, I'm designating this animal to carry it out. Therefore, only when you mock this in that, Is it a valid neder? Whereas if you mock this in something which is also to begin with, then no. Question is, Yichachi afilu b'davar also nami. So then, why don't you say that it does work even if you use a davar also? Because lesser iser al nafshei. Because the pasuk also continues with another double expression, lesser iser, to declare to make oser an iser on himself. You should say the same thing then. You can be mock this with a davar on nader, or you can be mock this with a davar also. And the answer is you don't need. You can't do that because lesser iser mibarei lechedatanya. We need the word lesser iser for a different thing that we learned previously. We learned in a braisa at the end of the previous merak. Ezo iser on the Torah chula. That what's an example of the iser that it says in the Torah where you're able to be machbis in it is something where we talk about the case of the person who is machbis using his father's yartzeit. Where the idea is, that Ron explains, the difference is, a neder is something, when you declare, for example, this animal is a carbon, you're not just making an offer to yourself, you're making an offer to everybody until the carbon is actually brought. When a person declares, for example, I'm going to pass on my father's yard site, it's only offer to him, it's not offer to the whole rest of the world. So therefore, the word lesser iser teach us that concept, that even if it's something that's only offer to you yourself, nevertheless, you can still use it as a basis, you can still be machbis in it. No, it's not. What it is though, if you were to declare an animal itself a carbon, then you're making it also to everybody. The same thing then, if you were to say this loaf of bread is like a carbon, and that's called machbis the davar another. You're being machbis in something that itself is also to the whole world. Whereas when you're being machbis in the day of your father's yahrzeit, that was never also, a person doesn't have the capability of declaring that it's a fast day for the whole world. All he can do is declare that it's a fast day for him himself. You might have thought that's not the kind of neder, that's not the kind of davar on neder you can be machbis in. The word lesser iser teaches us that not. At once it's also to you personally, then you can use it as a basis for, and then you can use it as a basis. You can be machbis in it. No, it doesn't. The piece of bread itself is only also to you. But the carbon that you were machbis in, the fact that you compared it to a carbon is something which is also to everybody. As opposed to when you say, today is going to be like the day that my father passed away, the day my father passed away is not also to everybody anyway, it's only also to me. There's a little bit further to talk about over here. First of all, by the way, there's an interesting tshuva from the Rabbah where he wants to say that this that we're talking about, you can't be machbis b'davar ha'aser, is when you're not actually using the word aser. In our Mishnah, for example, the guy didn't say, you're aser to me like my mother. He said, you're like my mother. So that we infer from that the word aser. But he says, if the person were to actually say, you are also to me like my mother, then it would work, he says. Why? Because he says, once he said to you, you're also to me, finish. You're also to me, it self-creates an iser. The fact that he added afterwards, like my mother, doesn't change anything. And there's a considerable discussion about that among the achronim, about the mechanics of that. One thing, as we talked about at the beginning of the Masechta, the two possibilities, and we've touched on it a few times since then, the possibilities, is the basic form of a neder really supposed to be that you're machbis in something? And if you said the real full form of a neder would be to say this bread is like a carbon, and therefore if you only say instead this bread is aser or this bread is like this or whatever, then that's only a yad. Or is it that there's two equally valid ways of making a neder? One is to say this bread is like a carbon, and the other one is to say this bread is aser. Depending on those two angles on it, you could say is this case of when the guy says you're aser to me like my mother. If you say that the basic form of a neder is you have to be machbis, and anything less than that is only a yad, well, fine. When he said you're also to me, at that point, that's only a yad. It's only a partial declaration. Then when he finishes off, like my mother, he's completed the declaration, and therefore he's invalidated it based on our Mishnah. Whereas if you say that saying this is also to me itself is a full-fledged neder, not just a yad, then yeah, adding like my mother isn't going to change anything.
Any halacha is?
It's a discussion among the Achronim. I don't know if the halacha is decided on it. The Ran also points out an interesting detail, by the way. When we're talking about that a person is being machbis, for example, on the day that his father passed away. Now, we've talked about there's a neder and there's a shvur. There's a neder where you're saying that such and such a day is also to me, and then there's a shvur where you're saying I'm swearing I'm making a shvur to not eat on such and such a day. If the person makes a shvur, for example, I'm not going to eat on such and such a day, then later on he can't be machbis in that. Because we talked about the idea between the difference between a neder and a shvur. A neder it goes on the chetza, on the object, in this case the day. A shvur goes on the gavra, on the person. So there's nothing to be makpis then. If he says, therefore, I swear to fast on my father's yahrzeit, and then later on he says, and I'm also going to make today that I'm standing on some other day during the year, like that day, nothing happens. You can't be makpis, he says, you can't be makpis. It's not a repetition. No, his father's yahrzeit is Aleph Nissan. So he says, every year I'm going to fast Aleph Nissan. Now comes, Tetzvav year or something, and he says, today is going to be like my father's yahrzeit. So if he had made a neder on it, yeah, he can be machpis on that. But if he made a shrua, then he can't. There's nothing to be machpis on. The chiyuv is on him. The chiyuv is not on the day, Aleph Nissan. Therefore, there's nothing to be machpis in. Machpis is that you compare one thing to another. The classic case of machpis is you say, for example, this bread is like a korban. Or our Mishnah was talking about where you're trying to be machpis with something which is intrinsically also. Like this bread should be like chazer flesh. Where the idea is, you're not the one who made chazer flesh also, it's the Eibush that made it also. Therefore, you don't have the power to compare something else to it. It's Meloshon Tovus. Like you're grabbing a hold. You're making that the status of this carbon, for example, is now grabbing a hold of this piece of bread or whatever.
If you say, since the Eibush that made it also, you don't have the power to change that. So then, I'm coming back to the discussion yesterday about the sukkah. So the Eibishter,
that's a different matter. There's Esther versus Loisa said, but no, here we're talking about, the fact is, you don't have the capability of changing, you don't have the capability of saying that this bread has the status of chazer flesh, because who gave chazer flesh its status? The Eibishter, not you. So therefore, you don't have the power. The sukkah is different. You're saying the sukkah is also for me to sit. You know what? Wait a couple of days. We'll talk about it on Baptist Zion. We're going to talk about this whole concept of nishbo or noydu levatal samitzvah. We'll get into the details of it then. It is, by the way, there's a number of places in Chassidus that talks about this. Among other things, there's a maimer of the Alter Rebbe that's brought in Derech Mitzvah Secha. There's a couple of maimorim from the later Rebbeim that discuss this issue of nedarim. How bechlal is it that a person has the capability with their words of making something osur? How is it that Eibishter created something that's mutter, and you, with your words, are able to make it osur? And also, related to that, is kaka, why do we have this distinction? The Pnimius Enyanim, why is there this distinction that you can only use a dabar hanodr, only something that you yourself were capable of making osur in the first place, and then you're able to extend that to something else, whereas you can't use a dabar osur, something that the Eibishter intrinsically made osur? And the gist of the explanation is that the things that are also in mutter, that are in the Torah, comes from Chachmaser Ritzonei Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Your words go higher than Chachmaser Ritzonei Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They go to the shortish of that Chachma. Therefore, you're able, so to speak, therefore you can't use something from Torah as a basis for your neder, because you're going, you're dealing with a level beyond that anyway. So therefore, you have to use a davar anoder, something that you yourself have the capability, the chachila, of going beyond Chachmaser Ritzonei Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu to create an issur. That's how it is. But it also talks about there that then therefore you also see the koyach of a chacham was then able to be master that neder, was able to go where you went higher than to higher than chachmasir ritzonei shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu and be oiker what you said. Yeah, it goes to show, words are powerful stuff.
It was just learning Torah.
Person
also powerful.
Yeah. Okay.
But yes.
Okay, our Mishnah continued. We said that if a person says to his wife, "You are like my mother," then we said that the neder is not really chal, but we find him a pesach memakam acher in order that he shouldn't be mekel rosh. We don't want him to be casual about nedarim. Like Moses Urimini, Urimino, I have a contradiction. Braita says, Hareyat alai kibsar ima, if a man says to his wife, you are to me, meaning the hana of having relations or whatever with you, is to me like the flesh of my mother, meaning like my mother, like my mother's body, kibsar achoisi, or like my sister, ka'arlo v'chalaya kerem, loy amaklum, then what he said doesn't count for anything. The Or Mishnah had said, you need to find a pesach, and you need to be mapped neder. The Braita is saying it's nothing, because it's a dover ha'asr. His mother is not also to him beside a neder, she's also because the Torah said so, et cetera, and so and so forth, so also with Achoisi and Orla and Kalaya Kerem. So what is it? The Braisa is saying that Loya Makum, what you said doesn't count for anything. The Mishnah is saying that you do need to be mapped a neder. Amar Abaya, it means Loya Makum Midaraisa Vitzarach Shela Midrabanan. You're right, but what it means is the Braisa is talking about on a Midaraisa level, and Midaraisa doesn't count for anything. Our Mishnah is talking Midrabanan, that you don't want it to be Mekel Rosh, you don't want it to be casual with Ndarim, and therefore you're going to make him treated as a serious neder. And again, like we said before, especially most of the Mefarshim learn that specifically in this case, where he said he's madir his wife, because it's very common for a man in the heat of the argument with his wife to yell out such a neder like that. And we want to make sure that he's not going to treat such a thing casually, that he should understand that it has ramifications.
So there's a double forbiddance.
What do you mean a double forbiddance?
One midaraisa.
No, midaraisa is
not. One midrabanan.
I don't understand what you mean. Midaraisa, this neder doesn't count for anything.
It doesn't count for anything, right.
Yeah. So midrabanan accounts for something, and
the
therefore...
neder is not chal.
That's what we're saying.
It's forbidden.
But he's forbidden. He's forbidden midrabanan. Yeah.
He's forbidden midrabanan.
That's what we're saying. Rabba Amar, the difference is, Rabba says, no. Haba tamar chacham, haba amaret. The difference is, the braisa is talking about tamar chacham, where, again, according to the various possibilities that we said, what we mean by make or rush, it can mean that an Amaretz is very common that he'll make such a neder, whereas a Tamar Chacham is a very unusual thing. If he did it with like a one-time thing, you don't do machmer on him to because of that. Or it can be because the Tamar Chacham will know that such a thing is not a valid neder. Hob Amaretz, whereas with Amaretz you need to have him treat it more seriously. Which, by the way, Tosfos points out that So the Mishnah is talking about an Amaret. So because he's careless with making the Dorim, then therefore you want to after it on him. You want to make him realize, you know what, there are consequences of it. You're going to have to be Matir Neder, and that way he'll think twice in the future before doing this. Which, by the way, the Rosh Tosfos points out that it comes out according to Abaya, there is no difference. It comes out, according to Abaye, even a Tamar Chacham would need a Pesach, as we said in the Mishnah. Because he's saying that the difference between the Mishnah and the Braisa is the Braisa is talking the original Din Midaraisa, and the Mishnah is talking how it is Midrabanan. But according to Abaye, it's across the board Midrabanan for everyone. So as I said before, without a distinction. So as I said before, the Shach says that nowadays we're all considered Amei Arat for this purpose. The Ha-Tanya, and thus we see a Braisa. We know that usually throughout Shas, Tanya is a question, but once in a while it's brought as a proof. Here the Ran says it's Nichusa, it's a statement, that here I can bring you a proof that you find a din in the Darim with the difference between a Tamar Chacham and an Amaret. The Braisa says, Hanoda Ba Torah, if somebody makes a neder based on the Torah, Lo Yom HaKlum, then what he said doesn't count for anything. V'Omer Rabbi Yechonin, it's Sarach She'el L'Chacham. And Rabbi Yechonin says, but nevertheless, you have to still be Matan Neder. And Rav Nachman says on that a Tamar Chacham does not need that Sheila. So you see an example over there where means to be Master Neder. So you see that a Tamar Chacham, you have a difference over there where a Tamar Chacham does not be Master a certain Neder and an Amaret says. Now one of the ideas is because this we just talked about Hanoi de Batorda, as the Gemara is going to say now, there's actually a lot of distinctions in it. So one idea is, besides there was the idea in the Mishnah with Ishtai that it's a very common thing for a person to make such a neder, and therefore you want to discourage him from making such a neder in the future. In the case of the Torah over here, there's a difference. There's a different thing, and actually in the case of Ishtai, there can also be. Remember, after all, if a person were to say that to his wife that you're also to me using something that's neder, then it would be a valid neder. So part of the idea is also we want to be more machmir on an Amar Aretz than a Tamar Chacham, because an Amar Aretz may not realize these fine distinctions. He may not realize the difference between, say, comparing his wife to his mother, which is not a neder because his mother is a davar aser, versus comparing her, let's say, to a korban, which is a davar hanader. Now, Ma'aretz may not realize those distinctions. Similarly, with the Torah, we're going to say now there's a bunch of fine distinctions where in some cases the neder does work and in some cases it doesn't. So that's another idea. Is
okay.
Tanya said, we learn in a braisa, Hanoda ba Torah lo yom haklum. If somebody makes a neder by the Torah, then he doesn't. Then what he said doesn't count for anything. Now, what do we mean Hanoda ba Torah? The Ram says we're talking about not Hanoda as in a neder, but we're actually talking about a shvua. The Ran points out there's a number of places we've had throughout the Masechta already where the Gemara sometimes uses the word neder and shvur interchangeably, even though they really are two different dinim. But nevertheless, because it was a common thing that people would confuse the two, therefore the Gemara often uses one instead of the other. So really So the Ran says this. So really he doesn't mention the thing about mixing them up, but whatever. It's the idea that the Tanus sometimes when it's talking about a shvur, uses the word neder. So therefore, the idea would be that, according to the Ram, the person is, there's a Sefer Torah sitting in front of him, and he says, I swear by this Torah that I will do X or I won't do X. So we're saying, Lo Yom HaKlum, what he said doesn't count for anything. The reason why, we'll talk about it in a minute in the Gemara. On the other hand, if he says, B'masha Kosuva, if he says that I'm swearing by what it says in the Torah, then Dvarav Kayamin, then what he said is a valid neder. What if he says that I'm swearing by the Torah and by what's written in it, then also what he says is a valid shavur. This is so far according to the Ran that we're talking about specifically a shavur. The Yerushalmi actually brings this.
If it's not a shavur, it doesn't mean anything. When it is a shavur, it has power.
Then that's what we're saying. A shavur, yeah. But there's a certain, because a shavua usually involves that you mention the Eivishter's name. So if you're swearing by the Torah, that the Torah is not in itself, what we're talking about, the parchment of the Torah is not the Eivishter's name, but the words of the Torah are. Kol HaTorah Kulo Shemoyseh Shalach HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And especially, we're going to talk about in a minute, the Torah has names of Hashem in it. So therefore, if he's making a shavua based on what it says in the Torah, then he's effectively mentioning the Eivishter's name. But if he makes a shavua on the Torah, meaning, which as we're going to say in a minute, means just the parchment, then it's not a shavur. The Yerushalmi actually brings that it is talking about a neder. So we're talking about that the person is saying that not like the Ram said of shavur, that he's saying I swear by the Torah that I will do X or not do X, but rather that he's saying this bread should be like the Torah. Actually, the Rambam, meaning, so that's the question, is it valid or not? So if he says, so therefore it would depend whether he's speaking of the Torah or whether he's speaking of the words of the Torah. And there the idea could be that, the Torah itself is not also, obviously, but on the other hand, the Torah does have the word korban in it in many places, so therefore you can be referring to that. You can be referring to the fact that whenever the sofer writes the name of Hashem in the Sefer Torah, he has to verbally be Makadesh it before he does that. So therefore, in that sense, the name of Hashem can sort of be considered a davar anodr. Based on all of that, the Rambam actually brings this in both places. He brings it in Hilchos Shavuos, and he brings it in Hilchos Nedarim. And actually, the Rambam gives it, well, let's finish the sugya, and then we'll talk about a couple of interesting wrinkles that the Rambam mentions in it. Okay, the question is, Katani b'masha kasuva dvarav kayamin. What did the Braita say in the second case of the Braita, that if he swears based on what it says, or makes a net or whatever, based on what's written in the Torah, we said dvarav kayamin, and then the third case was ba b'masha kasuva, that if he swears on the Torah and what's written in it. So Sodech Lameimar, does the Braita need to tell us? Obviously, if you swear based on what it says in the Torah, you're saying that your Shavua is Chal. So obviously, if you say on the Torah and on what says in it, of course, Yesh B'chalam Masayim Mane, the 200 includes the 100. Amar Rav Nachman, Loi Kasha, Hodem Machsa Oraisa A'ara, one case is talking where the Sefer Torah is on the ground. What do you mean by the ground? One second. Hodem Nachit Le'biyodeh. Whereas the other case is talking about where he's holding it in his hand. Machsal ara, if it's lying on the ground, daityag vili, then it means he only has in mind the parchment of the Torah. And the parchment is not a shame of Hashem, or it's not a davar hanodur, as the case may be. Nakat lebiyadeh, whereas if he's holding it in his hand, daityalaz kodesh shabbat, then he has in mind the names of Hashem that are in it. Now, what do we mean placed on the ground? So Rashi says it literally means on the ground. Why? Because if he sees a Sefer Torah lying on the ground, he's going to think to himself, obviously this can't possibly be a real Sefer Torah. Nobody would leave it on the ground. It must just be a roll of blank parchment. Well, in that case, he's just making a neder on a roll of blank parchment, and nothing happens. Mashenkin, if he's holding it in his hand, then he knows that it's a genuine Sefer Torah. The Ram says differently. The Ram says that, no, we don't mean literally on the ground. We just mean on the ground, meaning any place other than in his arm. So it can mean it's on the table, for example. So it's sitting on the table. Because he's not holding it, it shows, no, not that he doesn't believe. It just means that he's not thinking of what's written in it. He's just thinking of the actual parchment.
He's not considering it as a
Well, he, I mean, he is considering it as a Sefer Torah, but he's not thinking of the fact that it has names of Hashem written in it. He's focusing on the physical parchment. So therefore, according to this first answer, then what we're saying is that When we say the bo, is talking about when he's holding the Sefer Torah, that then he necessarily has in mind both the physical Sefer Torah as well as the names of Hashem.
So there we imply that when he...
And that if he's not holding it, then it would depend whether he says ba or whether he says b'mash kasaba. That's answer number one. V'yiboyseima the masal ara. Answer number two, you could say, is that we in both cases we're talking about the sefer Torah is on the ground or on the table according to the different explanations. V'ha'kamash malon according to the second explanation, the chiddush would be the afagav b'masal ara. Even if the sefer Torah is not in his hand, kivin da'amav b'mash kasaba, since he specifically says that I'm swearing or making a neder based on what it says in the sefer Torah, mahani. Then it helps. Then it works. It's a valid neder. And then according to that, v'zuv ein tzarach lemezu katani. Then according to that explanation, we would say the Braisa is telling us like the last part is needless to say. I'm telling you this case where he says masha kasaba, and needless to say if he says bav masha kasaba. Okay, sometimes Mishnayos and Braisa do that. They mention the less obvious case and then the more obvious one. The ibayim or possibility number three. Kula mitziyasa nami did not get leviyade. The kula mitziyasa, actually the Ram takes out the word mitziyasa and so does the Bach. That the whole braisa might be talking about the not get leviyade, that he's holding the sefer Torah in his hand. And then in that case, the chiddush is kibin did not get leviyade. Once he's holding it in his hand, afag abdele amet laba. Even if he only says I'm swearing on it. Commander of Masha Kosovo, Tommy. It's the equivalent of saying that I'm swearing on what it says in it. So we're saying that the fact that he's holding it. So then the Braisa would be going like this. If he says had no debatora when he's not holding it, then Lo Yamakul, it doesn't count for anything. If he's not holding it and he says Masha Kosovo, then still it means he has in mind what it says in the Torah. And if he's holding it, and he only says ba, it implies automatically masha kasaba. La halacha, the Rambam explains that the Rambam mentions this in connection with Shavuos and in connection with Nedarim. The Rambam mentions then that this distinction between holding it and not holding it. That if you're holding it, then automatically it means, like the last answer over here, automatically it means you have in mind what it says in the Torah, and therefore in the case of Shavuos, it would be a Shavuos. In the case of Neder, the Rambam says a little differently. The Rambam just mentions the difference between the Talmud Chacham and the Amar Aretz without saying anything else, which of course immediately leads the Raivet to say, you know, what did the Rambam do? He wrote the correct thing in Hilchos Shavuos and suddenly he forgot it here in Hilchos Nedarim. Which of course all the Mefarshim explain that no, that's not what the Rambam means. He is making the same basic distinction in both places. There's also, the Rambam mentions another interesting wrinkle in this. He says that all of this din that we're talking about over here is only with a Torah, only with a safer Torah that has the five chumashim, but not with other Sfarim of Nach. With other Sfarim of Nach, even if a person swears on Masha Kosovo, on what it says in it, it still wouldn't count. It still wouldn't count as a Shvur. And of course the Ravid objects to the Rambam on that, and all the other Mefarshim have a bit of a time. Where does the Rambam get that distinction from? The Radvaz, for example, talks about the idea that maybe because the Chumash is Nitnim Piyagura, everything that's in the Chumash was dictated directly from the Eibishter to Moshe. So therefore, the Shemus in there have an extra degree of Kedusha in them more than the one in the rest of Nach. A couple of other answers, but then there's a very interesting answer that the Rogachover gives. He refers to a famous Rambam. The Rambam writes at the end of Hilchos Megillah. Of the halacha supporting, he says that the la'asid lava kol aksuvim, all of the books of Tanakh, asidim li batil, will in the end be nullified. We won't need them anymore because actually. Not so much because all the prophecy will have been fulfilled, but because except for Chumash and except for Megillas Esther, he mentions that Megillas Esther is special, that the famous thing that Purim was the only Yom Tov that won't be nisbat the loss of love. The idea is, first of all, we're going to learn on Daf Chof Beis, the Gemara is going to point out that if the Yidden had done the right thing, if they had never sinned, we wouldn't have needed all the books of Tanakh. We would have had the five Chumashim, and we would have had the book of Yeshua, because it's a practical matter, we need Yeshua to know the borders of Eretz Yisrael and then what's where. But we wouldn't have needed the rest of the Sfarim of Tanakh. So there's the idea then that we're not going to need all those nevuahs, warning us what to do and what not to do, and all the various other svarim that teach us the right thing to do. We'll already know it. Tomorrow is day at Hashem. Only Megillas Esther is the exception. That the ness and the everything of Purim was such a tremendous thing that'll even be significant and important when Mashiach comes. Because of that, because the uniqueness of it, there's all the Maimorim and all the Sichos that talk about the specialty of Purim, the very fact that it was a nest that was Malubush in Teva, that was hidden in Teva, shows the greatness of that nest that transcends all the other Nissim. There's also the idea that by Purim Hodr Kiblu B'mei Achashverosh, that we reaccepted the Torah voluntarily in the times of Achashverosh, whereas by Matan Torah we could have objected, Major Rabba L'Araisa, that they wish to force us into
it.
Hanukkah is also, but it's not in Kisvei Achodesh. There's no book of Tanakh about it, because it happened already after Tanakh was finished, after the time of Nebuah. Anyway, so the Rogachover says, based on that, then you can understand this thing that the Rambam is saying. Well, then, if all the other Sfarim of Nach are not going to exist, loss of Lavoi, then therefore, even now, the Azkaris, the names of the Eivishter and the references to Korbanos and whatever in them, don't have the same Kedusha, the same intrinsic Kedusha to them as the Sefer Torah. What about Megillas Esther? Very simple. Megillas Esther has no names of Eivishter in it. So therefore, it works out very neatly. Whereas then, why does the Ravid argue with the Rambam on it? Because the Ravid over there in Hilchot Megillah also argues with that concept. He says, "What are you talking about? The Sfarim of Tanakh are going to be bought the laws of Lavoi." So therefore, everything fits. So therefore, everything fits together very neatly.
Okay.